First vampires, now werewolves. Is there any monster they can't ruin by making it sexy? We discuss Twilight, New Moon. Everyone, and welcome to the Flop House. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
Elliot Kalin as himself.
Yeah. Wow, we're all here.
Yeah, it's been a while, right?
The original
it's been
Peaches.
A kind fucking of. Long time.
It has.
It's In been a long time getting from
of
there
the
to
Beatles,
here.
It's been a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
And I was quoting the theme song from Enterprise starring Scott Bakula.
Well, nerdier. That's what we've learned tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, no. Bakula sounds like Dracula. That's wow. A good lead-in.
What a segue. Dr. Segway has a good transition for us.
Well, now that Elliot's done reacting to that segue in the corner of the room.
I'm not quite done yet. Whoa! Blew
we
me away.
We should talk about the film that we watched tonight, which was Twilight, colon, New Moon.
I thought it was the Twilight Saga, colon.
I thought it was Twilight Tharp, the choreographer.
No, that's good. I like it.
No, we watched a film, one of the many films involving both Draculas and werewolves.
Draculas and Larry Talbots.
And Wolfmans.
Wolfmans.
So there's a lot of Wolfmans in this movie.
Oh, so many Wolfmans.
Multiple man-wolves.
Should we... Because this movie is kind of a big deal, right? Like, it made a bunch of money.
Made a lot of money. It was a huge release.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to clarify, actually, up top.
No.
The thing about the Flop House.
Up top.
Sure.
There's a high five.
People often get confused about the premise of the Flop House because it's called the Flop House, and they get very hung up on the idea of...
Are we in a house? Do drifters
there?
Do we sell pancakes?
That wasn't where I was going. I was going with the idea of the flop and what it means to be a flop.
Okay.
And people like to point out on occasion... that
the
films,
movies we see were actually successful.
Yeah, financially successful. And
such
Twilight
as old,
New Moon.
Olden Dogs. Agent Dogs.
Huge hit. And 10,000 BC.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, not that one. But Old Dogs
and
Twilight
Dalgo.
New Moon, which we watched tonight,
yeah, they,
was a huge film.
Big financial success. A lot of buzz.
And what I say to that is...
like a literal blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the amount of money it made was enough to destroy a block of cement if you dropped it on top of it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, in pennies.
Yeah.
Well, what I always say about that is that we watch movies that are financial flops. We also watch movies that were critical flops. But even more so than that, in the words of Wayne's World, it's just a clever name. It's a name that, in fact, I'm kind of angry in retrospect that we use because it's caused so much grief.
It's a good name. What else were we going to call it? Bad Movie Guys?
Oh, man. There was such a long list.
I mean, when I
wasn't there during the founding stages of the show.
No, years ago, like, my working title
it
of
was really
this,
years ago. That's the fucking sad thing.
My working title in my brain of the podcast was just simply Bad Movie Night, which is simple. It's clear. It's not a particularly clever name, but it gets it across.
No, it's good. I mean, can we...
Can we change it?
Yeah,
no, it's too late.
There's a lot of brand identity connected to the Flop House.
Only when it turns out that podcasts cause lung cancer should we change the name.
Yeah, but I mean, the point is, like, I Googled Bad Movie Night, and there were already a few things by that name, even so.
Oh.
So.
Well, there's stuff called the Flop House.
Really?
Probably.
I do know that if you Google...
Know.
Can't back that one up, huh?
Nope.
If you Google Flop House and podcast, there's apparently, like... A podcast that does jazz music out of Boston.
And it's called
the Flophouse Sessions.
Oh. They mean Flophouse in the old-fashioned way of a house for itinerant vagrants, probably.
Right. Well, I just like to
I
think...
I was going
to
say vagrants, too. That's we're really connected tonight, Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
A it mystical
been,
connection.
Must have been that sex you had earlier. I like to think that there are a bunch of Boston jazz fans... Who have found our podcast looking for that other show.
Maybe, because it's the movies we don't see. Just like in jazz.
Right. Yeah.
Material.
I think it might be important to address that at least that I went into this movie without having seen the first movie.
Me also. Yeah.
Or reading any of the books these movies are based on.
And I watched the first movie earlier this week as research for this
in
podcast.
In like a screening room or a theater?
Yeah, he rented out the Miramax screening room.
I watched it on my iPhone. On the subway.
Oh, okay. On the subway.
But I thought at least one of us should have seen the first movie.
So you saw it in 20-minute chunks.
Yep. And you were wearing like...
Well, no, I have a commute up to Harlem.
Commute?
Well, that's what I call it when I'm on the subway with a lot of communists.
I see. So, but probably you were distracted because while you're watching, you're playing the game of like, if this subway car was a desert island, which mm-hmm. woman would I have sex with? Who would we eat? Mm-hmm. You know, who would we kick off the island?
I actually do play that game fairly
yeah,
frequently.
Yeah, well, I'm sure everybody does.
But I watched it I watched it in about 35-minute chunks. And I was telling you the story.
35-minute chunks would have been a better name for a podcast.
That's a good name. Well, the podcast has to be 35 minutes long.
No,
we
cares?
Never have one that short.
That's like a vomit podcast, though, 35-minute chunks.
Yeah, but okay, fine.
No, but I watched Twilight on the subway, and I was saying before that right before watching Twilight on my iPhone, I was listening to the Dan Savage Love podcast on my iPhone, and I thought to myself, after doing these two things in close succession, when did I become gay? I don't know. Stu was looking at his watch.
A couple
He's
years
like,
ago.
He was aware of it before
years,
I was.
You're yep. checking your watch, and the answer is in years.
Yep. He
has a really fancy watch.
He transformed in the words of Twilight, I think.
Yeah.
I think they
words
said transformed.
Of Transformers 2, Rise of the Fallen.
Sure.
So, Elliot,
yep.
why don't
so
you tell us what happened
let
to
me
this
tell
movie
you, Let me tell you the 20 minutes of plot, which encompasses the 2-hour-plus running time of Twilight New Moon.
2 hours and 9 minutes.
Bella is a girl who's in love with a vampire named, what, Edward Cullen? Is that his name?
Yep, that's his name.
And she knows he's a vampire, right?
She knows he's a vampire. Okay. They're in high school. He still goes to high school despite being a 100-year-old vampire.
Does he get really good grades?
I hope so. The one class we see them in, he knows Romeo and Juliet by heart, so he shows up the
but
snotty
that's,
professor.
That's probably good for him, because like, when I was a high schooler, I really couldn't appreciate that, like, that class. Like, it's better to go back as an older student.
No, I agree. That's true.
Well, they make a stab at, like, explaining this in the first movie, like they're like, okay, we don't want to draw attention to ourselves, but wouldn't an ageless senior
just the idea, like,
draw more attention?
Someday you're going to graduate, Edward. I don't know what your grades have been so bad. I mean, you've been at the school for 50 years mm-hmm. now.
You should stop taking those AP courses, you know?
But apparently in the previous film, there was an evil vampire who came after Bella to get revenge at Edward for killing her boyfriend, the vampire's boyfriend.
Wait, what?
It's Don't worry about
turn.
It.
So Edward says,
just let it happen, Stuart.
If you're around me, you're going to get hurt. So instead, I'm going to tell you that I have to leave. And he leaves.
He goes to Italy.
He goes to Italy. And she starts falling in. She becomes friends with a Native American boy who lives nearby. And
with great hair, that really
with
long hair.
Long flowing locks.
Mm-hmm. Jacob is his name.
Jacob. I didn't get that. I never knew his name. But She and at the same time, she's obsessed with getting – apparently, whenever she's in danger, she has visions of Edward. And so she's searching for greater and greater thrills.
She becomes a thrill seeker.
A thrill killer. Not a thrill killer, but a thrill seeker. And it turns out Jacob has a crush on her. They start getting closer. Jacob's a werewolf. He falls in with a band
Wait,
of
– what?
Yes. He falls in with a band of skinwalkers or whatever they're called.
Sure.
Other young werewolves. And – this is when my memory is hazy because my brain started shutting down at certain points.
Well, to be fair, the movie started shutting down too. While we watched this, there was a period. We watched it on streaming from Amazon, and there was a period for about 20 minutes where we were having trouble loading the film.
Yeah.
And Elliot kept pitching the idea of us just – you know, doing a podcast in the first hour of the movie because Elliot's always keen on getting out of here as soon quickly as possible.
I'm an old man. I like
to
get home
early.
He's
a streetwalking cheetah after this.
Yes. <Wow. laughs> With a hide full of napalm, yeah. So anyway, Edward comes. No, he doesn't come back.
No. Yeah, like she finds out that he's going to like get himself killed by the vampire police.
He loves her, but he
all right, all right, guys. Let me step in.
He loves her, but he can't live without her, so he's going to go sacrifice himself somehow.
No. Sure. No, let me
no,
step
that
in.
That sounds right.
By the vampires so court in Italy.
The evil vampires who threatened Bella at the end of the first movie, which was just called Twilight.
Okay.
One of them comes back. Sure. Actually, both of them, both of the two remaining ones come back. But more importantly, like, the girl comes back, threatens Bella. Like, there's a big fight. Like, Bella goes off, jumps off a cliff, conks her head. Jacob, the werewolf, pulls her out. And they go back home.
Now he's saving her from the evil vampire.
Mm-hmm. They go back home, and there's a phone call from Edward, and which Jacob picks up on for some reason, even though
rude.
It's not his house.
Yeah.
Rude.
And Edward,
rude.
Well, the fact...
Where did he grow up? In a barn?
I mean, he's
no,
not wearing
woods.
A shirt most of the movie, so...
Well,
I mean,
that's...
Clearly...
I forgot to mention that about the werewolves is that they don't almost never wear shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They're just walking around no shirt on.
The other weird thing is that they can transform into creatures covered completely in hair, and yet the werewolves have no discernible body hair other than the hair.
Well, that's because they're all like teen models.
Oh, okay.
They're all ripped.
Anyway.
They're all ripped as all
they
get
are
out.
Shredded.
Yeah, just cut.
The point is,
just fucking that jagged up.
When Edward calls,
just completely brooked.
when Edward calls,
totally squeeze glowed.
When Edward calls,
just super blasted.
And finds that
rocked up.
That Bella is not answering her own phone. He assumes that the vision that his sister Alice had of Bella dying is true.
That Bella is dead.
And Bella's dead.
And he has no reason to live anymore.
He has no reason to live anymore, so he's going to kill himself. And so Alice and Bella then have to race to Italy.
Italy.
And save him.
And which probably, probably a lot of babies with the name Bella nowadays, don't you think?
Yeah, and a lot of mushrooms.
What? Oh, right.
It's a type of baby Bella, mushroom.
Anyway, when they get there, there's a bunch of, there's a big vampire, foofaram. There's
but there's like a vampire court that they go to, and the vampires, they find out that Bella, each of the vampires has their own special powers. Some can see the future, some are telekinetic.
Like the X-Men?
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
they're
like
basically
that.
The X-Men. And Bella is completely
is there
immune.
A Gambit?
Not yet, but probably at some point.
Okay, cool.
Bella is immune to their powers, so they're fascinated by her. And she.
What about a Wolverine?
Okay, come on. Let
Male Jacobs may be the Wolverine because he's kind of he the animal inside him bursts loose.
I like that guy then.
Anyway, so there's a foo-for-all with the vampire court. It ends with in a stalemate, kind of a draw, and with Bella saying that she'll become a because she's a liability to the vampires because she knows too much about them. She'll become a vampire and join them. Then
everything's solved.
There's like 40 more minutes to the movie where they talk about this. And then at the end, there's a final stare down between Jacob the werewolf and Edward the vampire. And then
it's a real love triangle.
It's a real, it's like a love scattered pieces of dust on the floor.
Yeah.
There's no tension or romantic chemistry between any of them.
What's the climax of the movie?
At the very end. Edward says, I'll turn you into a vampire, but we gotta be together forever. And she says, that's what I wanted. And he goes,
that's what I would ask a teenage girl, by the way.
And then he says, will you marry me? And she goes, and then it cuts to the credits. And I assume Twilight 3 picks up at that moment with her denying him.
Yeah, but like in Phantasm 1 and 2, immediately jumps into the
exactly.
I mean, that's not... That is not the climax of the movie, unless you mean climax in the sense of like all the teenage girls coming to climax in
at
the theater.
Moment, as they fantasize about Edward the vampire marrying them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The climax of the film.
I gotta tell you, sexy vampires have changed a lot since Dark Shadows. They don't wear shirts as often.
The climax of the film, I guess, is Bella rushing to keep Edward from committing suicide by revealing himself as a vampire.
Which involves her running through a fountain and pushing him.
And I believe this was the point of the movie in which I turned to Elliot and said, is this movie shitting me? Because, like, what the fuck kind of climax is
well,
that?
Well, at this point, the
it looked
movie...
like the poster for that Angels and Demons movie starring Tom Hanks and John Travolta's hair.
Yes. Mm-hmm. John Travolta's hair played itself.
Yeah, the hair he wore in that swordfish movie.
Oh, man. John Travolta's Same hair had such an ostentatious trailer on that film.
But it's a movie that's shown that it cannot handle action or excitement in the fact that it involves multiple fights between werewolves, and they are boring as all get out.
Well, but also, like, we talked about a lot of plot in that synopsis just now, but most of that plot occurs in the first 20 and last 20 of the film. And then in the meantime,
there's a lot of meandering.
Just a lot of hanging out. You know,
there's a lot of
every pop song is
playing.
Longer than it should be.
They're all really long. The characters pause a lot while they're talking unnecessarily.
And blink a lot.
Yeah, well, that's because they're all wearing vampire contact lenses.
Well, you guys
were
in particular complaining about how difficult it was just to understand the dialogue.
Well, that's the thing. The
mumbliest fucking people.
Like, I saw you guys turn into old men in front of my eyes.
It was ridiculous. I felt old watching the movie, not just because I didn't recognize any of the bands that played songs in it, didn't understand the appeal of the movie or anything like that, but also
like, who are these people? Why are they in my television?
Where's Glenn Miller? But the idea that, all the characters are whispering or mumbling. I don't know. Maybe it's your sound system. The audio recording sounded terrible.
Dan's sound system sounded really bad.
All right, guys.
The screen's so small.
But it was really hard to understand, their words were not, legible often.
I didn't think that one guy was speaking English for the first half of the movie.
So it was
the one
was,
with the boxer's face.
The boxer's face?
Yeah, like the smashed-in face. The
guy. Which vampire? The main vampire?
Yeah, he's got like a little smushed face.
Yeah. If I was going to describe him, I'd be like the vampire with the stupid haircut.
Okay.
Well, I would call him the star of the film.
Yeah, all right.
Although he's not in a lot.
He's in like 40 minutes of a 130 minute movie.
120 minute, let's say.
But there's like eight or nine minutes. He was in it as Smoke a lot.
He was in it as Smoke.
He did appear as a vision made of smoke,
Not as a knight named Sir Smoke a
lot.
The knight who was always last in getting to the adventure.
No, yeah, that was a weird thing that Bella, as Elliot, referred to, would see Edward, her vampire lover, whenever she was
in danger.
So she put herself in danger, and we would see Edward as basically like these smoky apparitions. That if she ran her hand through, like he would dissipate,
dissolve into mist.
So she got way into like what? Autoerotic asphyxiation, or
no?
Well, she got on the back of a motorcycle once.
Asked some strange guy to take her on a motorcycle ride.
How'd that end?
She asked him to stop, and then he did.
Yeah,
he was
very accommodating cyclist.
Yeah. And at one time she jumped off a cliff.
Okay, like into like a quarry, or
no? It was cliff diving. She jumped in the water.
Okay,
we had already seen people do it safely earlier in the film.
Okay.
One time she went to see a movie called Punch Fist or something like
Fist
that.
Fist Punch.
Okay.
And that apparently was just a real adrenaline
shot. Didn't do it.
That sounded pretty good, though, if I remember.
There's a moment where they're watching this movie Fist Punch and you just hear the soundtrack, and it's supposed to be a joke, I guess. It's like, I'm going to blow your head off. If you try it, I'm going to blow your head off. Why don't I blow both your heads off? Let's do this thing. And then just you're shooting. It's like, oh, I wish I was watching that movie. Fist Punch sounds so good right now.
Yeah.
They took a lot of liberties with the life of Bella Bartok in this film.
Yeah.
Unless it was about the life of Bella Abzug.
Or
that
Bella
the...
Lugosi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Let's take this moment to... shout out to our mutual friend, Stuart.
We have another friend named Stuart?
Do you know what a shout out is,
Dan? I'm making sure you're paying attention.
Okay.
Our mutual friend, Bill.
I'm looking for my phone, actually.
Who would do an impression of Bela Lugosi, which would be him putting his coat over his head and then going, I'm Bela Lugosi, and chasing you around the room.
It's a pretty good one.
So, Bill, that was a good impression.
Yeah.
Very accurate.
Don't worry, audience. I'm as uninterested as you are. Let's get back to the movie, shall we? So it's a slow, meandering movie with not as much plot as it seems to think it has. And it's one of these movies where it's like, it assumes that the audience, I think, is already emotionally invested in it. So there's no reason to worry about getting you involved or making the characters seem interesting.
Well, I mean, to be honest, there is no one who's watching this movie that's not already emotionally invested
probably
in it.
Well, there might be people who are like, I wonder what all the fuss is about this Twilight.
Yeah, but like, no, I like the werewolf men, but I don't like the vampires.
I liked right. Underworld. Well, try this.
That's the only justification I could think of, sure, because no one's going to just dip into this movie and be like, I'm curious about this Twilight sensation, but I don't want to watch the first movie in the series.
I like True Blood, but it's a little too blue for me. Because they have vampires in that, too.
I gotta say, all right, here's the thing. I mentioned that I watched the first Twilight movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have to say...
And we didn't make fun of you that much.
No, only a little bit.
Well, you'll make fun of me here.
Okay.
Oh, boy, let's get ready.
Kind of enjoyed the first movie.
Ellie, you want to field this one?
Wouldn't recommend it. Would not recommend it necessarily. But, like, for what it was, I'm like, okay, yeah, I see what this is doing. I mean, the first movie...
And then you, I assume, signed up for a subscription to 17 or... Young and
I was gonna say
Tiger Beast.
I was gonna say Bob. Ranger Rick. So I think I'm way off.
Yeah, no, Ranger Rick is a little too young. But you gotta bring it up a little bit.
Think about the first movie, like
Ranger Rick is one of the great magazines where I think they assume they know you're gonna grow out of the magazine, so it's just a cycle of the same issues over and over again. I think they have about 24 issues, and I remember Zoo Books is kind of the same way. But I remember my brother having a Ranger Rick subscription and being like, "Baby ducks again? I have baby ducks."
What, did they come out with some new baby ducks?
Come on.
For 1983,
this just in, baby ducks.
Kangaroos have pouches. No, but I mean, the thing about the first movie, if nothing else, it actually had some beautiful cinematography, the first movie. But also, the first movie was directed by Catherine Hardwicke, who directed 13, which is not a good movie, but it is the sort of movie that you would want someone to have on the resume if they're going to do a Twilight film. I mean, like, that's such a overwrought teenage melodrama, and it comes from such a female perspective that you can see where they're like, okay, perfect for Twilight. You know, like, this person can really plug into that just, like, amped up teenage girl emotion quality.
Angst stuff.
Yeah, and this
that
movie...
That kind of, like, keeping a journal, making a mixtape, you know...
like a quilt? They make quilts with the other women.
How to make
in the
an
village.
American quilt. That's what we're talking about.
I mean, quilting bees are all the rage these days with the young kids.
Uh-huh, sure. With the young Amish. But there's like a real intense sincerity to that film that almost like put it over. Whereas this movie, it was directed by Chris Weiss.
What else did he do?
He did. Well, I mean, he started out well. I mean, he made American Pie and About a Boy, which are two
classics.
I'm not arguing for them as great movies.
Where's his
like,
Academy Award?
I'm not arguing for them as great movies, but they like...
Hey, wasn't that the movie where the guy has sex with a pie, Dan?
For Christ's sake. Neither are movies that
wasn't
I love.
Wasn't
I'm just
that
saying.
The movie that was about a boy?
They're both solid, like, just entertainments. And then he, like, took a real dip down. He made The Golden Compass, which was just boring.
That was too bad. That was a wasted opportunity, Golden Compass. That was very boring.
And this movie, just like, good. He just didn't seem to have any feel for it at all.
Yeah. It felt like it was, it was directed by someone who wasn't that interested in making this movie.
Or for shelling out a couple of claims to get some good special effects,
Yeah,
you know?
They were also terrible special effects.
Yeah, talk about those werewolves, Stuart.
Those wolfmen were like they're super phony looking. Like as you were saying, the monster in Neverending Story looks more realistic.
Yeah,
they look like cartoons. Like I think one of them's gonna jump into a fucking like drag racer and go driving around.
step in behind Jabberjaw and go off.
They don't even look like they have any like musculature. They just look like hair blobs.
Well, they look like stuffed animals that are running around and biting each other, but like cartoony
and slow motiony.
Mm-hmm.
Like if what's his name from Monsters Inc. had wandered in and joined the werewolf pack, I would have been like, all right, okay, this makes sense to me. This doesn't seem out of place.
Visually, this makes sense to me.
Plot wise, I'd actually be very excited. I'd be like, all right, this movie is going into a weird area.
Wow. It's a real crossover that's going on.
Vampires and werewolves exist, and also cartoony monsters.
Now, do you think part of the reason why they didn't seem to give a shit about their special effects is because they assume that the people who are actually interested in this movie are generally female? Mm-hmm. Because I find that most women...
And females are, like, half blind.
But no, what I'm saying...
They don't have, like, the visual acuity.
What I'm saying is that...
I'm saying that most women that I talk to, like, I'll watch a movie and be like, oh, man, that shitty computer graphic special effects. And they're like, what? Who cares? Like, I'm paying attention to the actual story.
Because they're sensible people.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't care for that computerized monster.
Well, that's they're all just waiting for the moment when Pattinson takes his shirt off at the end. And
yeah.
No, he doesn't. He never takes his shirt.
When he's going to walk off into the sun to reveal himself.
Wait, who's that?
You know, the vampire.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's painfully skinny, though, when he does that.
Like, yeah, but girls like that.
They do?
They go for the...
it's called heroin chic.
That's very big now, the reedy look. They don't like the guys like the werewolves who've got musculature.
Who the... like, those werewolves, as brought up before...
Sculpted.
They were just sand rats.
Shirtless all the time. Like, at the
marble.
End, when there's a big standoff
just
with the
like
werewolf
mountain
and the vampire, like... it's there's a shirtless guy standing in the middle of the road. I was waiting here. I didn't have time to put on a shirt before
the car to get up to him and him to punch the car off the road.
I wish there really was a scene where when the one guy figured out he was a werewolf, he collected all of his shirts and all of his normal pants and like put them in a big garbage bag, and then he filled all
won't
his
be needing these.
Then filled all his drawers
just with cargo
fucking
shorts?
Like Old Navy cargo shorts.
And jams.
And why is he wearing
time to
shoes?
Swan around in these.
He's just gonna explode his shoes off. Well, why is he wearing those shits?
That's the thing. They always
they're kind of expensive.
They
shoes.
Walked around always no shirt and just shorts. Then when they became werewolves, you'd see scraps of clothes bursting off, like they burst out of their pants. And you just have to imagine them.
Oh boy, did
like,
they
hiding in the woods as their friends go back to get them pants. Because they ripped them.
Yeah, they
on the cell phone. Like, Larry, could you come? I wolfed out again. Could you just?
I need some.
So they say wolfed out too. Like do
you... Yeah, always. It's like, and they dance that dance.
My pants are in my bottom drawer.
Where'd they get the cell phone from? Like was it disguised in a tree?
They've got cell phones stashed all over the
world.
Sure,
but why don't they just stash pants?
That's what I was gonna say. Why don't they just stash the pants then?
That's
how
stupid
the movie is. They just don't get it. I was going to say, the movie would have been better if, like, Teen Wolf, one of them was in a school play about the Civil War.
Yeah.
And that was a subplot.
I think it would have been nice if they had a scene where one of these naked wolf men, like, had to, like, talk to an animal, and the animal had to go, like, get him pants. That made sense.
Yeah. I mean, within the mythology of this film, maybe, because they all have special powers.
Yeah. By the way, guys, naked wolf men singing on Broadway right now, so...
Yeah.
Get the ticks. Get the ticks.
Get the ticks.
That's what they call them, ticks nowadays?
They do for that show.
Watch out that those ticks don't bite you, though. Dangerous.
Sure. Anyway. Oh, because they use alligators as tickets now on Broadway.
Well, I didn't think it was the bite so much as the rolling you and drowning you that was dangerous about them.
Sure.
Alligators, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, ticks can give you Lyme disease. That's the other problem.
So... Twilight, sexy vampires. Stuart, what are your feelings?
I could have, I was kind of raised on
sexy
Lost
vampire.
Boys.
Ah.
So, like, to me, when I imagine
the
sexiest
of vampires.
Yeah, when I imagine a sexy vampire.
It's Kiefer Sutherland.
It's Kiefer Sutherland or the guy who played, Bill from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh,
Alex Winter?
Alex Winter, yeah. That's a sexy vampire.
Mm-hmm. Really, really, like, he's got that... he's got that real American hero William Cat curl
yeah.
in his hair.
And Jason Patrick, when he starts becoming a vampire in that movie, mm-hmm. he's really, really sexy.
Maggots.
So how did you feel about...
You're eating maggots.
As someone who is hip-deep in the fantasy world...
Oh, yeah. I love fantasy stuff.
How did the vampire mythology...
As someone who lives in a fantasy world of your own creation...
Well, I'm not gonna say that it isn't weird to see these vampire dudes like sparkling when the sun hits them.
Mm-hmm. Like diamonds.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, they're really
like,
worried...
Oh,
that,
like the superhero Zales.
I guess they're worried that the sun is going to hit them because people will see them sparkling.
Yeah.
But, like, what's the big deal? They could just make up that they're, like, fucking angels or something.
Or the thing is, like, girls wear so much sparkly makeup now anyway. Like, just say I'm wearing a lot of makeup.
Yeah, just hit Claire's Boutique and load it up on sparkle paint.
Well, but also the thing is, like, even in this universe, the Twilight universe, it's not like...
Twilight-iverse.
People see sparkles and think vampires. It's not like that's a stereotype about vampires. So it seems like, you know, like, no one who sees them sparkling is going, oh, those guys are fucking vampires. Let's go stake them. You know,
let's go give them some steakums.
You said that really sensually, Dan.
Let's go rub steaks all over their body. Let's
stake them. They're aching for a steakum.
But yeah, the monsters all. It's well, a lot of these movies, I think at this point, I don't know why monsters in movies keep themselves a secret. If there's one vampire.
Because about half of them are good anyway.
Well, if there's one vampire living in an area, I can understand why he keeps himself a secret. If there's a whole society of vampires and half of them are good guys anyway.
It's a vampire scene.
Yeah, there's a whole subculture of werewolves, you know. Why, at that point, what do you got to lose?
Yeah.
Just true blood it.
Yeah, just be open about it, man.
Come out.
I hope that's an inspiring message to all the monsters out there listening to this.
Mm-hmm. Your friends and family,
they'll understand.
If they don't, they're not worth it. I mean, the werewolves were pretty straightforward, although...
It wasn't full moon based.
Yeah.
Even though the title of the movie was New Moon.
And they apparently don't feel the cold like wolves don't or something, which doesn't make any sense at all.
No, like in real life, wolves don't get cold.
They don't?
That's why they live in space.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You've just flipped my lid.
Oh, yeah. Space wolves. Because the cold doesn't bother them.
Nice. I have nothing more to add to this topic.
Speaking of wolves, I don't care for that Taylor Lautner.
No? What don't you like?
I don't know. Every time he came on screen, I wanted to punch his stupid face.
Is he the wolf?
He's the wolf.
Oh.
He's got a slightly effeminate voice and is kind of bland.
Whoa. I mean, I don't... It's not that. Like, that makes it sound like I'm gay bashing all the time.
Yeah, you're a homophobe. Anyway, yeah.
I mean, the guy who was watching Twilight and listening to...
You're ashamed of who you are.
Sure. Huh?
Well,
self-hating is what you call it. No, I just like he. I don't
in
know.
The,
like
in medicine, it's called McCoy disease.
Mm-hmm. I don't know his.
Is that that's transmitted anally, right?
By Dan McCoy. Yes. Sure.
He just. I.
No, thank you. I don't want that.
His.
Well, he. What's weird is
his
that
stupid muscular.
He starts out
neck
with
and his.
He starts out with really long hair, and then he cuts
which
his
looks
hair.
Great.
And he looks so ridiculous that it's like I believe him then as like an awkward teen because he's got this stupid hair, you know, and I know Stuart thinks it looks great.
It looks awesome.
He's got this long hair and he always looks a little befuddled and it's like, oh, I buy him as a teen. And then when he turns angry, he cuts all his hair off and he stops wearing a shirt and it's like, all
right.
And
he gets a tattoo.
And he gets a tattoo. And now he's just like a muscle guy. Like I don't buy him as a teen anymore. And the hair is no longer covering up his thick neck. That bothers Dan so much.
Mm. Just don't like necks, guys.
Just good to know.
Don't like necks.
You shouldn't be a vampire, because that's where they drink their blood from.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Where else?
I'll talk about it later. But the other thing, this is one of those movies where school is an option for students.
Yeah.
They sometimes go to class,
Explain.
Sometimes not. The main character skips school for like in the beginning. She's at school. She has a circle of friends that she sometimes hangs out with. Those characters disappear from the movie.
Oh, like that Up in the Air chick.
Yeah, the
Anna Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick from Up in the Air is one of them, and
Academy Award nominee
from
Anna
this
Kendrick.
Movie,
undeservedly so. Yes, for New Moon.
I liked her in Up in the Air. I thought she was good.
I thought she did a fine job in a fine film, Academy Award worthy. No.
Yeah, well, you're the guy who does not care for the Academy Awards in general. So
no, but I'm still going to say if it's a worthwhile award at all, then. But at a certain point, those characters disappear. She just
stops.
She didn't
win, though, right?
No, she did not win.
She just stops going to school and went to Monique.
Amazing performance.
Mo'Neek.
Really?
It was a giant step forward for women with apostrophes in their name. As I said,
that's good stuff
on my live blog.
Yeah, that's good
and
stuff.
It got about the response that you gave me right now.
Yep. So yeah, they stopped going to school. That was kind
of
weird.
Yeah, the movie just stops being tethered in any sort of reality. And I mean, it's already got werewolves and vampires, so it's a fantasy movie. But
which seems weird that then they also made a point to have that scene where after her vampire boyfriend leaves, she's like sitting in a chair looking out the window, and the camera's panning around. And it makes a point to like show the changing of seasons and to say the changing of the months.
Puts the names of the months up in text on screen. So like, get it, idiots? Time is passing.
Well, you don't realize that's value added. That's the Twilight calendar.
Oh, I see.
That you're getting, the Twilight video calendar if you buy the DVD.
Because there's only, but they only show like 3 months, right?
Well, it's not a good calendar. No. It's not a lot of value added.
It was rushed into production, that calendar.
It's the bare minimum amount of value they could add to the product.
They're like, I can only remember 3 months.
So it seems strange that they're going to try and ground a movie in reality like that.
Yeah.
But then completely disregard the fact that, like, she, you know, has to go to school because she's a normal person.
Well, when it comes to normal person, this thing that bothered me the most about the movie is, and I know it's a movie, but he's a 100-year-old vampire.
Yes.
So
okay.
If he falls in love with a woman, I kind of buy it because he's been around the block. She is what, probably like 16?
Just about 17. Yeah, 17.
She's 17.
That's old enough to party.
If you're 17 and you fall in love with a guy and you don't see him for 3 months, like you're like really mad for 3 months, and then you get over it, and then eventually you go with
another
guy. There's
like a muscular werewolf, for instance.
Yeah, she'll have these moments of like being a crazy person. And probably write these like long missives in her diary.
Yeah, and then eventually, but like I don't.
Yeah, poetry. That's kind of.
I don't buy someone, and I'm sure. And I mean, it
maybe
happens.
Maybe change her hair.
There are high school sweethearts who get married, but I have trouble buying the idea that at age 17 she's emotionally mature enough to recognize that she's met the love of her life that she wants to be with for eternity.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Not only the love of her life, but
the love of her afterlife.
Stuff.
That's good vampire-related humor.
Now, it's also interesting that in her, 16, 17 years of experience, she can provide enough interesting conversation to a 100-year-old dude.
That's, you'd think every conversation would be like, oh, you haven't heard about that? Oh, it was before you were born. I'm sorry.
She'll be like, let's do that. And he'll be like, I did that like 400 years ago, and that's not that interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not actually. Wait, he's not over 400 years.
No, he's just like 100 years.
Like, he should be a lot more embarrassed when he introduces her to his friends.
Yes.
You know?
He was kind of embarrassed.
Yeah, but I think that was more because she was a human.
Oh, yeah.
And less
right.
Because, like,
I had difficulty
she's
reading
like
his
a stupid teenager.
I see. You know? That makes sense.
It's not like she said anything.
No, it was just that they wanted to eat her blood.
I had a lot of difficulty reading his performance.
She gets beat up and bloody so often in this movie, and it's like I was saying to these guys, it feels like an 80s like TNA comedy where like the whole movie's just an excuse to get girls' tops to fall off so that the main characters can see boobs. This feels like almost every scene of the movie is an excuse for her to cut herself so that the vampires can, you know, have to force themselves not to kill her to drink the blood.
To lust over her blood.
But she gets battered.
Yeah.
And she bleeds so easily.
She gets battered and fried.
Wait.
Turned into a Tales from the Crypt. Well, anyway, maybe we should move along.
Yeah, I don't think there's much else to say. So, Twilight, New Moon.
Sure.
Final judgments.
On that. Is this a movie that was a good-bad movie? A bad movie? Or a movie that you actually enjoyed? Elliot.
I'm going to say a bad movie. I actively didn't enjoy it. And I felt bad about that because inside I was saying, like, is this just because I'm like a movie snob or I went into it not wanting to like it?
Or an old man because you were literally shaking your fist.
Or an old
screen.
Man. I was literally shaking my cane at the screen. But I genuinely did not enjoy it and found it poorly made. So I'd say bad movie.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. Like I said, I marginally enjoyed the first movie. Like, I don't know. The first movie for me was able to plug into a certain sort of teenage angst where I could kind of step outside of it and be like, all right, objectively I can see this is stupid, but while I'm watching it, I'd be willing to be swept up into it. But this film had all of the bad qualities of the first movie with none of like the sincere intensity that kind of made that work. So it just ended up being boring. Stuart?
I'm going to say bad movie, and that has nothing to do with my dislike of the werewolf v. vampire genre, nor my dislike of teen romance. It's just, yeah, it was like every scene was a little bit too long. Yeah, it just didn't feel like there was any actual like heart or soul in this movie.
Yeah, it felt very mechanical.
Stuart hates teen romance because I hate
teen romance.
He does not like to see people be happy, especially not at a young age.
Mm-hmm. Because I know that they're just going to get hurt down the road by me.
You know that the credits just come up to shield from us what's going to happen to those characters.
Absolutely.
So we don't have a...
Looks like you got a missive there.
Well, no, I don't have letter.
Okay. Ooh, writing some letters, listeners.
Is this like a note you wrote yourself?
No.
A really cool doodle.
It says, "Dear Dan, you are great. Have a great day. Feel powerful. Love, Dan."
Oh, I wish. That seems like it would make me feel empowered.
Yeah. But, you drew a picture of you with tiger powers.
No, this is...
like Tiger Woods?
Yes, like Tiger Woods powers.
Okay.
Guys, don't you want to learn what it actually is?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the results to the...
I kind of like this bit we're doing. All right, we'll learn it.
It's the results to the Give Dan a Hook contest. The results are in.
Bated breath.
And the winner is... Mournful Sighing.
Oh, the old classic.
Yeah.
Winner and champion.
With 53.33% of the votes, it well outpaced the runner-up, which was a Michael Caine impression, at 15.56%.
Michael Caine impression, huh?
Yeah. So,
what came in third place?
Third place was a tie between The Classy One and Hooks for Hands.
Come on. If you people had been more on the ball, Dan would have had to pretend he had Hooks for Hands every episode.
I'd like to thank you for picking Mournful Sighing, because that means it's something that I already do, and so I don't have to pretend that I'm going to actually pay attention to the hook that you've chosen for me.
Could we have done some kind of an alliance and made it Michael Caine impression with Hooks for Hands?
That
would have
been nice, a parliamentary thing.
Yeah. I like it.
Well,
how many will you tell the actual vote tally?
The
or is
actual
that too
vote
depressing?
Tally. Well, I mean, too depressing. well, I don't think it's. I think it's respectable.
Too depressing.
Like if there's too low a number.
Oh, I thought you said tuna pressing.
Yeah, if it was, is that pressing too much tuna?
I didn't know if that
it's
was
hard
like,
work.
I didn't know if that was like a cool euphemism that you guys in TV.
I don't want to kill any dolphins.
Well, it comes from the old days of TV to make the videotape last longer. They would press it between layers of tuna. The juices would seep in and preserve the film.
I like it. It's why that's that type of stuff that I like hanging out with you.
Yeah, this tales of old TV. Yeah.
No, I guess it's respectable enough. It was the top vote getter got 24 votes.
Okay, it's not bad.
So. The point is,
I mean, it's not exactly, you know, Larry King and Ashton Kutcher.
Well, you have to
fighting for
you have
Twitter
to imagine
supremacy.
that every vote cast represents 100 listeners.
Wow, we're doing great.
Who didn't bother to vote? So the winner, of course, a Mournful Sighing, is Ashley, the young lady who wrote in to assure me that I was as beloved as you were, Stuart.
That was nice of you to lie to him.
Mm-hmm. So, Ashley, you should write in with your address so we can get you that DVD of Stull with our commentary. And also, I'm in a generous mood. Since we have multiple DVDs of Stull...
Don't give them all away just yet.
Ben, who came up with Michael Caine impression, you should write in with your address as well. And so the second place, I think we can give an award.
Anything extra special for the first place, since the second place is getting the same thing?
We could sign it.
We will. Yeah, we'll sign the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could
second place.
Maybe you could include this doodle
itself.
You just did.
No. The doodle of him with tiger powers.
Yeah, that doodle you just did.
Snow doodle. You're pointing to a blank piece of paper. I will not play along.
Damn,
with your radio.
Play along. It's the magic of radio theater.
Not play along with that game,
man. Fuck you.
No, we'll
get
sign
me some
it.
Cellophane. We'll pretend we're in front of a roaring fire.
What's the next thing we do on this thing?
The next thing we do...
It has been a long time since we've done a recording with you, huh? Yeah.
Is we recommend a movie.
Okay.
Say someone's in the video store, and the only two videos are Twilight, New Moon, and the video that you're about to recommend.
I'd say two things.
Okay,
one,
I like
get
to
Netflix.
Roleplay.
It'll save you. Netflix will save you trouble. Sure. Two, it's on to the really internet. Switch to DVD.
Yeah. Or Blu-ray disc.
which is it's DVD.
Better definition.
But it's there's no.
It's not a different laser, Elliot.
It's not a different enough format that I will give it a different name.
But you can do like all kinds of video games and shit on there. So, wait.
Yeah, what are you going to write?
Yeah, I'm into role-playing. Let me try this. Okay, so you are in a movie theater. It's not a movie theater.
You're in a movie theater. You're totally nude.
No, that'd be weird.
An usher who looks like Stewart walks down the aisle.
You're in a video rental store. It's not a Blockbuster.
No.
Okay, it's like your local one. And all the movies except for two are rented out, just like Dan said. One of them is Twilight Saga : New Moon, okay? Mm-hmm. And you like vampires and werewolves, you don't think you're into it. And the other movie I'm going to recommend is an old-timey movie that I don't think I've recommended yet. It's a movie called Black Roses, okay? It's not a werewolf movie. It's a horror movie. And one of the reasons why I saw it when I was a kid was because the box had like a puffy cover that had like like skeleton hands holding a electric guitar and like roses wrapped around it.
That sounds awesome.
And it's about about this like demon rock band that shows up to this like sleepy town, and all the kids in the town start going to see this rock band, which is like playing every night. And they're slowly turning into demons, and it's pretty awesome.
Sounds kind of like the movie Hard Rock Zombies.
A little bit, except Hard Rock Zombies, the band turns into zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is different. This movie, the
and a
band,
Nazi demon eats itself.
Yes, and it's very slowly.
In this movie, the band are like demons, and they turn people into demons.
Because in Hard Rock Zombies, they're a regular rock band, and they're turned into zombies by Nazis.
Okay. Yeah, that's not the movie I'm recommending.
Yeah, your movie is probably much better than Hard Rock Zombies.
It's actually really good. So, or, Elliot, what other movie might they want to rent if it was available?
I'm going to recommend a non-horror film.
That's weird.
I'm going to say, let's see, Twilight New Moon is the other option. You're looking for a movie you can watch with you and your lady friend, or if you're a lady, a movie you can watch with your lady friend, since it's my fantasy, so that's the way it's going to work. And I would say the other movie is a classic that you may have seen before. I've seen it many times and I watched it again recently. A little thing called Singing in the Rain, which is the greatest musical ever made, on film. I watched it again recently because I read a book about it and made me excited to see it again. And it is impossible to watch without enjoying it to some extent, I would say. Unless you hate musicals, in which case, you're screwed because you're not going to enjoy Twilight New Moon probably either.
Okay.
But Singing in the Rain is a lot of fun.
So you're saying a person who would like a musical would probably like Twilight New Moon?
I think so.
Okay.
But you'd like Singing in the Rain more because it's a better movie.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun. And one of the things that I was watching about it this past time was, in a way, Singing in the Rain is the hot tub time machine of its day, because it was made in the 50s, but much of it is about like, hey, remember in the 20s how funny we dressed? Like, remember all the stupid things we did in the 20s? Like, the same way that Hot Tub Time Machine is about people from today saying, remember how the dumb things we did in the 80s? So it's kind of neat to look at it from that angle as a nostalgia movie for a time that we are nostalgic for now.
Yeah.
We're farther from it now than it was from the time that it is nostalgic for and making fun of. And that's kind of a neat way a new angle to look at it if you've seen it before.
I've been sitting here through this entire time while you've been recommending things, thinking to myself, what am I going to recommend? Because even though we've been doing this for 2.5 years, if not longer, apparently I haven't learned to come up with a recommendation before we start taping.
You should.
Like, I should have expected that this segment of the show
would come
would
about.
Come up, especially because I introduced it. And I have nothing.
Wow, so Twilight New Moon is the only movie in the store. You're stuck watching that, talking to whoever you live with.
I mean, no
you don't want to do that.
And maybe, I mean, the fact that
what
I...
What do you even talk about?
Nothing. I don't know.
The fact that I, during my nose surgery period, I didn't have any drinks, and then I had some drinks tonight, may have woozed me up a little.
Don't blame the alcohol.
Hazed it up a little.
blame surgery.
But no. Part of it is I have not been watching a lot of movies lately.
Why not?
What I have watched, I watched...
watch some TV?
Well, Breaking Bad.
You watched Twilight New Moon.
I'm going to break the rules, and because it's the only thing I can think of, I'm going to recommend Breaking Bad.
Mm, you're breaking the rules bad.
Mm-hmm. Now, people... I know there's some big Mad Men proponents out there. I like Mad Men.
Yeah, it's called the Television Academy.
I think it's an enjoyable show. I think it's a good show. I think it's fun. But I'm here to say F Mad Men.
What?
I think Mad Men.
I think Breaking Bad is a superior drama program. So
Elliot's hopping mad over there.
I'm literally hopping. We're gonna have to Rumpelstiltskin.
like a Chinese hopping vampire.
Mm-hmm. Don't throw any rice on the ground. I'm gonna have to pick up every grain.
I avoided it for a long time because I watched Weeds and I did not enjoy Weeds. I thought, okay, Weeds, you know, like this will be fun. Then I watched it, I'm like, okay, well this is just the usual suburbia has a dark side sort of satire thing. And then, so I avoided Breaking Bad because I thought, okay, this is going to be another.
It's like a mix of Weeds and Malcolm in the Middle. Right?
Yeah. It's going to be like, oh, this middle class guy is going to turn to dealing drugs. That's going to be wacky. But then I watched it and it was so much more realistic and darker than I expected.
Like Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that mom is such a bitch.
Malcolm.
That's that show, right? The
underrated guys.
Yeah.
Or am I thinking of Bernie Mac?
No, Bernie
Mac. You're thinking
Mac of Bernie Man. You're thinking of The Wicker Man.
That mom was a bitch.
So to sum up, Breaking Bad.
Okay, so we recommend a couple of movies and a TV show.
This Blockbuster, I guess, has season one of Breaking Bad and Twilight Newman
on Blu-ray disc. Sure. So yeah, I guess.
And there's also one of those knockoffs where it's like Treasure Chase, where it's a knockoff of National Treasure. You know.
Okay, or Transmorphers.
Yeah, Transmorphers or
Snakes on a Train.
Any of those movies? Yeah.
Surrogates.
Surrogates was a major motion picture.
Okay.
Starring Bruce, it's a movie called Surrogate Surrogates. Or Surrogates Surrogate.
Sweet. Okay. So now what do we do, Dan?
Now we sign off, Stuart.
I thought of another knockoff movie, The Hand That Rocks the Dreidel.
That's okay. Pretty good. I like it. For the Flophouse, I've been Stuart Wellington.
I've been Dan McCoy.
And I will continue to be Elliot Kalin because I'm a vampire.
Good night.
Let's wait. So that's the only reason you're going to continue to be alive?
Yeah, because vampires like stability, status quo. Okay.
Anybody who likes these books, I should make them feel terrible for their things they like.
Yeah, exactly. Things that they care about and which touched them.